After so long, oh, I mean, after so long, you got 38 people. Everybody's been mayor, I guess.
Okay, and for the minute's sake, I am just going to remind you guys that we are at the Wasatch Front CDBG Regional Review Committee meeting, and today is February 20th. And we here have Christy Dahlberg, the staff person for CDBG for WFRC.
Jerry Houghton, Tooele County Recorder Surveyor.
Sean Wilkinson, Weber County.
Mayor Mark Allen, Washington Terrace for Weber County.
John Barber, Morton County Council.
Perfect, thank you guys. Okay, so far Ofertown is out of the consolidated plan update, and we are going to move from the Census Bureau data to the American Community Surveys for population purposes. And I know I sent over a lot of stuff, so I totally understand if you haven't reviewed this.
The expected resources. We're still looking at 657. Is that what?
About that, yeah.
That was what was approved for this year. We're trying to get up for next year. We're trying to get more money.
And
it's a fight, isn't it?
Yes, and I met with the state last week to review, and this number hasn't been finalized yet. We might actually be getting more money. The feds haven't finalized how much money they're going to give us yet.
How much more could we get?
She didn't tell me, but a little bit more. So once we review everything and we go to the master score sheet that I've put together just preliminarily as we discuss this, we added up the requested amount, and she said that there's a good chance we could fund all those projects once we get the final allocation amount.
Generally, a little more means we're going to give you that to shut you up.
Hopefully. Anything is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we feel good with...
Do we need a motion on this then? To accept the 2018?
Sure.
Okay, I'll make a motion to accept the 2018 annual action plan with the changes regarding the census and the town of Beaufort. Were there any other changes?
I'll second that.
Okay, motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Perfect, thank you. All right, now the fun part. Application review. So, not including the application from Wasatch Front for planning and administration costs, we have 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 10 applications. Marriott Slaterville, South Ogden, Plain City, 2 from Wendover, 2 from Weber County, North Ogden City, Uinta City, and Washington Terrace. So, in front of you, I've included the first couple pages are the rating and ranking criteria and some supplemental information that helps in the rating and ranking process. And then after that, there's kind of a breakdown of each individual application from Web Grants as they came in. So first we have Marriott Slaterville. They put in an application to install curb, gutter, and sidewalk on 1200 West and 700 South in Marriott Slaterville. And then at the top here, kind of have a breakdown of their total project cost, which is a little over $500,000. This was actually a multi-year grant application, so they're asking for $200 this year, $200 next year. And they would be providing a 27.8% match.
I thought we were getting away from those two-year contracts. Not getting away from them, but discouraging them.
Right, and I'm not super up to date on past discussions you guys have had about that, but when we go to update our rating and ranking criteria, if you guys feel like that's something you want to disincentivize maybe a little bit more with some sort of points allocation for a single-year project, that's totally something we can discuss.
Were there any more besides this one?
That was the only one this year.
It just pulls forward. It pulls forward for money for next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, see, and the reason that came, well, the reason that came up because when the funds started dwindling.
Right.
Right.
I mean, by the you get.
Yeah, you get two
you
or three.
Get two or three, and you got no money in 2 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I can't remember where the discussion went. I guess we did not do away with it.
We talked about it, but
we did. We have talked about it.
We had 3 year.
We went to
applications
two.
In the past, and then we said no more three. We'll still keep two in there.
Okay.
Because is Twilla getting money this year, or was last year the last year?
So they are getting money this year.
Okay.
They got more money last year than they anticipated.
That's right.
So they're getting less money this year than the original ask, but we still owe them.
That comes out of our 657.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's about 38,000.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Could be worse.
Yeah.
Could be way better.
We can look at what we want to do with multi-year projects, but mm-hmm.
And I think if we, you know, get up to over $1 million again, I think maybe we can do 2 year, possibly.
Right.
And then it becomes a non-entity, but
right now $650,000.
So have you gone through and preliminarily read and rank these, or do we need to do all?
Yes, I have. So if you guys want to like follow along and look in there, and if there's anything that pops out to you that's or if you'd like, we can also go through criteria by criteria. I'm not super aware on how you guys have done this in the past.
So these are in the order that you...
These are in the order of that I received them, yes.
Okay, so, because here's one.
And then if you look at the very back, there's a master score sheet.
Okay. Yeah, and that was all in our email. I've reviewed all of them, but...
I have, too.
Okay.
You guys are overachievers.
Weber County.
That's right.
Just remember where we're
at.
We don't have anything else to do.
Garbage is slow right now, so.
That's right. Recycling is non-existent, so we don't have anything to do. We have anything to talk about.
Okay, so then how have you guys done this in the past, or how do you guys like to do it? Do you want to go through each application and each criteria, or just kind of briefly overview of each application and then jump to this master score sheet?
I think a brief overview.
Yeah, a brief overview is fine.
We've
done it different ways in the past. When we've had fewer applications, we've gone over each one. But if there's 10, unless somebody has a glaring issue, I don't.
I'm just looking at the back page before we go to the overview.
Okay.
The CBGD request, it says total project cost, CBGD request, and then then it rolls over into 2019. So we have 200,000. $1.7 million for this year's request, right? Is that what we're looking at? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we got.
Sorry, it printed out so small.
607,000 in this funding cycle. So there's going to be a ton of those, and we may only be able to fund two or three, right?
Right. And then if you also minus the 38,000.
Yeah.
That means.
I think the 38's been minus or subtracted. Because you only got 607.
Oh, yep, you're right. I was supposed to add that, huh?
Yeah.
So that's about a little over 700,000.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So we can just do a brief overview.
So, Christy, in the past, I have caught some minor petition errors.
Yeah.
You know, just going down and
whip. Yeah.
And so have you double, triple checked those to make sure that nobody's been... Do you have to one or two points or three?
Oh, for the points, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone over the points and I put it in Excel spreadsheets with formulas, hoping that would correct some of the human error. Unfortunately, I put minus 37,000 instead of plus 37,000. So that is user error over here. We can see what that actually number should be.
Yeah, it was about 3 years ago I caught some. Addition errors and this kind of the same thing you did. Well, I just had it in a spreadsheet and it just kicked out. So it kicked out wrong.
686,103 plus 37,000. Okay, so we actually have 723,880 in if you pay the remainder of $38,000 to Tooele County. And then if we were able to fund the top three projects, that would come to $723,880.
So we don't have.
We don't have.
We have 607.
We have 607. Yes. actually less than that if you minus the...
$37,000.
$37,000. So we have about $570,000.
That told she go where? That told she go right here?
She has it, so we have the 607 up at the top, but we've still got to take out the... The 38 that...
Oh, okay, that's where we're talking right there, okay. All right.
Okay.
That's the 38.
And I can just go briefly over like where each applicant got their points and where they might have missed out on points. So Marriott Slaterville, the curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Here's a map of the area. They received almost all the points that you could for project management. They were docked a little bit where they struggle with reporting compliance and regulations. So they want to do curb and gutter on this street, and 1200 West and 700 South.
Got a question on that. Is there a school around there that they're trying to get to? Is that big building a school or?
There are no schools around there, is there?
The only reason is if there was a school around there, Safe Routes to School has a March deadline.
Okay.
And so they'll usually allow you to do curb, setter, gutter, sidewalk, but not the asphalt replacement if you have to do a cut, you know, into the asphalt to put that in there. If you'll do that. And the reason being is I just got called 2 weeks ago that they've got money now. And so if there was a school around there that you could say, hey, we're completing this because that's the way the kids get to it. It's just an option.
South on 12th Street.
And then
down to 700 South.
I don't know if there's
nothing back there. I mean, there's one building, no school. No, so.
That's whether it's a charter school or a public school or whatever.
They even got one charter school that they fight with all the time right next door to City Hall. They're sick of.
So looks like right here is their area they want to do. This must be an old area.
That up because if they're out of the running, that might be another pot of money they could go to. Yeah. And still not say, great, we don't have to do this.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. And you said that deadline is March.
What's that?
You said that deadline's March for City Hall to School.
Right.
Okay. They got pretty good. They scored pretty well in the match. They are providing quite a match. They did get points on their moderate income housing plan, scoring a 3 or higher. They haven't received any CDBG since 2016, so they got a couple points for that. Their public utility infrastructure, as are most of the projects, so they all those projects received an extra 5 points. They didn't score very well on their tax rate or their benefit cost ratio. They did get one extra point for Title IV compliance. So that brought their score to 38. Next, we have South Ogden City. They missed quite a bit of points on their criteria 1 for capacity. They didn't get any points for project manager consistency or documenting regulations.
Why was that?
Those numbers I get from the state.
Okay.
Because they report to the state staff. So if they change project managers a lot and like have trouble contacting them or like have to really be on them about reporting, or if they don't get everything they need, then they lose points there. They don't contribute to the housing stock. This was one of the few cities that didn't receive any points for their moderate housing income plan. Their plan was below 3 points last year, so they missed a decent amount of points on that. Now the project is replacing the water line under 37th Street and repairing the road above it. See where their map is. So from Washington to Orchard, it looks like. And so that would be providing culinary water and water services, water valves, fire hydrants, and storm drain improvements. They received the most points possible on their financial match, which is a 75.4% match, so that's pretty high.
They've got quite a bit that they're matching, 75%.
Yeah.
But is that coming from someplace else? Did they go to another fund to get that? And this was just going to be
a... It looks like it's a local match from the city. I don't think they weren't scored the highest, but if they were, we would need, and we were thinking of wanting to award them, we'd have to go to them and get further documentation of where this match is coming from and make sure that it's committed.
Gosh, with a match like that, they should be able to go to the Division of Drinking Water and get
a loan.
Yeah.
Did
low interest loan.
Yeah.
Loan, maybe 0% with
right.
The match they're got. I mean, we got 800,000 0% interest and 800,000 grant for a little project for 18 homes.
Mm-hmm.
$1.6 million project, yeah. Just finishing up, we just got them connected.
Division of Drinking Water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just one of those options again. I mean, I've been playing the game
sure.
For 12
sure.
counties, so
leveraging,
just telling you where
money.
These other monies can come from.
And that's, you know, like part of what WFRC wants to do. We want to match you with any funds possible that fit your program. So it's helpful for me to hear these things, you know, if we don't award these jurisdictions, for me to say, but here's some more options for you.
Right.
So that is helpful. So yeah, they received good on their match. And again, with the public utility infrastructure, so they got the 5 points. Their benefit cost ratio was 3 out of 5, so not bad. Same with their property tax rate, so that's pretty good. They didn't get any ADA or Title IV compliance, which could give them a couple more points, which brings South Ogden to 34 points. So Marriott Centerville was 38, they're 34. Moving on to Plain City. So Plain City wants to reconstruct 5100 West on the street. Previously owned by Weber County. Right. So then here is a map. So 5100 West, looks like from 2700 North all the way to 2150 North. Here's some pictures too of the road. So it looks like a decently old road. So, where's Plain City?
This is Plain City's?
Yeah, is Plain City missing from your...
No, it's in
just out of order.
It's out of order. It's closer to the back of the packet.
Sorry about that. Okay. So, they received half the possible points for capacity because it's their first time with CDBG, so that gives them 2.5 points. They received points for having a 3 or higher on their moderate income housing plan, and they received some points for serving 30 to 50% below the AMI. They received the highest possible score in the financial match. And they got the highest possible score for recent CDBG funding because they haven't been funded since before 2014. And they didn't get any ADA or Title IV compliance. So that puts them at 37.5, right below Marriott Sladeville. Any questions or comments so far? So then, I'm guessing we'll have to jump back in our packets, but City of Wendover, they have two, so this should be the 8-inch sewer line replacement project. There it is. So, they want to abandon the existing main sewer line and manholes. And capping or plugging the existing pipe, and then furnish and install new sewer manholes, new pipe, and then dispose of the existing asphalt and replace it. Here is their construction map. They're asking for $203,600 with zero match. So they would be replacing this. It's not the best map. If they do end up getting funded, we will ask for a better map and a more specific location of the water line. Another big reason for that is because it does serve the entire community, this water line, and we just need absolute proof and definition of that, because they receive a lot of additional points for being a community-wide project.
It doesn't look like there's any development around that water line. Is this for future development, or what is it for?
I believe it feeds in to...
I mean, if we're looking at the green line on the map...
Yeah, so I want to say this just goes out to their main water tank, their pilot peak tank.
Oh, okay.
This is a sewer line, though, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're right. But when I reviewed this with the state, she said that she's aware that this sewer line serves the entire city.
Okay.
But, again, if we do decide to fund them, we'll need to get better maps and a more detailed explanation.
Makes sense that the line would go out to away from
home. It's going to be a fun one to take down. What do you do when it's down?
So they received most points with capacity, again with the compliance of regulation and laws. They're not super on top of it, so they could have got more points, but they got at least three. They did get 2 points for having three or higher on their moderate income housing score. They received a lot of points, so Wendover is in a special spot where they have a community-wide survey.
So they're automatically.
They're fathered in for community-wide projects. They don't have to take a survey because the entire city of Wendover is over 75% or 70% LMI, which also gets them a lot of points here because they can count all of their LMI people in their entire community. And then they also, a site-specific project gets 1 point, and a community-wide project gets 5 points. So it boosts them pretty high. So they got maximum points for 30% of the AMI, maximum for 50%, and some for 80%. Since they have no match, they got no points there. And then again, they got 5 points for being community-wide. So that gave them a lot of points. So they are up to 46, which is the most points possible. Or not possible, sorry. The most points we received. Okay. So moving on to Weber County. The Weber Housing Authority applied through Weber County for an acquisition and rehab project. They want to purchase and restore a small multifamily complex in Weber County. It's specifically not in Ogden City. And then the people who can live there will qualify at 50% or below AMI. Because they haven't procured a spot yet, they couldn't really give us a map or an estimate, because they need the money first to acquire the property. So we don't have much to look at on their web grants application. They received full points for capacity and project manager consistency. They actually are the only project who got points for contributing to the housing stock, for the low-income housing stock. They got points for the moderate income housing plan, max points for 50% AMI beneficiaries. And because they're a housing authority, their beneficiaries are targeted to 100% LMI people. If you're not LMI, you don't qualify to benefit from their project. So they got 6 points for benefiting targeted 100% LMI people. Their match is at 50%. So they received a decent amount of points for that. Not the maximum because their population is not so high, but they got 5 points for that. So yeah, their activity was an LMI housing activity instead of public utility infrastructure, which actually receives less points, but they still got 4 points for that. So yeah, point heavy project, but they still scored at 44. So that puts them in third place so far. How do we feel about that one?
It's not the one where it was highlighted. There was a highlight on Weaver County. Right, there's a highlight.
The highlights are both the Wendover projects and Washington Terrace.
No, but on their application.
Oh.
It must not have been on this one.
I do know what one you're talking
about. When there was a highlight. And that wasn't that one. Where'd it go?
Have you had much conversation with them at all?
About their application?
Yeah.
Not since they submitted it. Are you wondering something about their application?
I was on the other Weaver County application. Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Jerry, did you have questions or something you'd want to know?
Just wondering their capacity. You can complete both projects at the same time. For Wendover, that's pretty good size.
Right. And that was something, you know, I wanted to talk to you guys about. There's nothing in the bylaws saying we can't fund the same city in the same funding year. There's no, you know, real rhyme or reason why we couldn't, unless you guys feel they don't have the capacity. And if you wanted to fund the next rated ranked project, that's up to your guys' discretion.
It appears to me they're affected the most people, though. And that's where you get the biggest bang for your buck. I think that makes the most sense. I mean, that's what this thing's all about, isn't it?
Right.
How have they performed on past projects like this?
Well, that is criteria one.
Because they have had other.
Mm-hmm.
I know
yeah.
They got penalized for one, but the housing authority was part of that.
Mm.
Right.
So I remember that.
The city themselves have a pretty good project consistency.
Glenn's been out there for Glenn Wadsworth. He's been city manager for like forever.
But that's also something that we talked about because Glenn is not full-time anymore. He retired but still consults, or I'm not exactly 100% sure on the details, but he's part-time.
Okay.
So that would be something to talk about with him too, you know, if he thinks he can do both of those projects and work part-time. Okay, where were we? Oh, that was the Weaver one. Okay. So 44 points for Weaver. North Ogden City wants to replace their water line. replacing 4,300 linear feet of 8-inch water main that was installed in 1959. Project will include replacing 12 gate valves, 7 fire hydrants, and 65 1-inch copper water laterals, backfill, and asphalt patching. And we have a map. As soon as it opens. So these are the houses that would be affected by replacing the water line. They received almost full points for their project manager consistency. They got the points for their moderate housing income plan. They got a fair amount of points from their extent of LMI project beneficiaries served by the project. Highest points possible for match. They're matching about 59%. So quite a bit. They're asking for $250,000. The project cost benefit ratio is, benefit cost ratio, it's pretty high, 4 out of 5. So in between $1,000 to $2,000 per beneficiary. So that brings them to 42 points. Uinta City is in a little bit of a question period. Cheryl, who's the state CDBG manager, is checking with HUD and people way above my head to see if this project even qualifies. It's a little bit questionable. They are applying for money for fire equipment, fire emergency response equipment. So that would be like radios and like GPS radios.
And that's what it says, communications equipment. I know in the past we've had them come up to, that was one of Cheryl's pets where she came back and wanted us to readjust some of our numbers to allow them in for, I think at that time, was it a fire truck they were
trying to get? Yeah, I think it was a truck.
Yeah, they've had a truck. So the problem with this one is that radios and communication devices can be moved and transferred and used for something else. That's not like they're there and they're going to be used for fire protection. Obviously, that's what they want them for. But HUD doesn't like funding anything that can move or not be used as its intention, as its intended purpose. So Cheryl's checking on this one. It's not 100% eligible, but she hasn't said definitely no way.
Well,
it didn't. It didn't score very well.
Yeah, 29. So I don't
think.
Anyway. Yeah. So. So it's not pressing that we know if it's eligible or not, but for future, if we say no now, we're gonna have to say no in the future. If we say yes now, we're gonna have to say yes in the future. So Cheryl is,
so we're just waiting to hear back from her,
checking on that. Their motivation for this was their recent fires they had in Uinta recently, and they believe that if they would have had more updated equipment, that they could have saved a lot of acreage from being burnt and destroyed. So a little bit of an emergency factor for them there, but still not directly, obviously, benefiting or fitting for CDBG. So we'll skip over that one for now. The second Wendover project for Pilot Peak waterline replacement. not, again, not the best map. Let's see what the other one looks like. Okay, so this is the whole water line, and they want to replace from there to there. And if I understand correctly, they've been getting money in the past to do different sections of the same water line. So, I mean, same as the other Wendover project, they received a lot of points for being community-wide. They received a lot of points for benefiting the most LMI people. Again, no match. This project, they had prioritized higher than the other project. So if we were only going to fund one, they would probably want it to be this one. Pretty high benefit cost ratio.
One of the arguments Christy and Lanise and I have been trying to make is that we are benefiting a large LMI population. So as we look at these, though, we need to make sure that we back up what we're trying to tell them too, as part of our argument for needing a bigger piece of the pond.
Right.
So.
Okay, so that brought them up to 46 points, tied with Wendover in first. And then if we look at Washington Terrace, see what those hooligans are doing up there.
Come on.
Yeah, I looked at that number and I just thought, oh, no.
You could have done this project for half the cost. What's all the fluff in there?
Wow.
Brutal, huh? Glad
I showed up today.
We're just joking. So Washington Terrace wants to do a storage tank, water storage tank upgrade. They're asking for 232.5 out of 378,000, so they're providing 38.5% match. They received full points for project manager consistency and capacity for managing their previous projects. They actually didn't meet the 3 or higher for their moderate income housing plan last year, so they missed points on that. Their score was 2.068. They received a pretty good number of points from 30, 50, and 80% below AMI beneficiaries. They received the highest possible amount for financial match, highest possible amount for maturity of project, and this was their first priority on their capital investment plan, so they got 4 points there. It's public utility infrastructure, so they got 5 points there. And it's benefiting the entire community, so they got 5 points there. Forgot to erase my question for Cheryl, but Cheryl confirmed it is a community-wide project. And they also have a very high benefit cost ratio, I think highest of any of the projects. They received 5 points for that. And they got the extra points for doing ADA checklists and Title IV compliance, which is great, good on them.
Got a question, I just thought of this. Your administrative fee, the $50,000 that we put in.
I already took that out.
So you took it out of those.
Yeah, so okay. It should be $657,000, but we
all right.
We need the $50,000 to do all the others, so we just took it out.
Did you say on the moderate income housing plan, the score of 3 or higher,
mm-hmm.
that they did or did not?
They did not need that. So they need a 3 or higher to get the points, and they had a 2.068.
Okay. Sorry.
No worries. I know they're doing the biannual update right now, so that could be updated for next year.
So if our plans are not updated according to what the state wants, there's no points. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you're not compliant, you're not even eligible for CDBG at all. And then, like, the most more you update it and the better points you get, then the more points you get in the scoring process. Okay. So, Washington Terrace scored highest out of anyone.
Give Tom a raise.
47 points.
No way.
Amy Rodriguez.
Yeah, we'll give her a raise.
Okay.
And yeah, the state just ranted and raved about her and how great she is.
Really?
Yeah. So
she is good.
So she deserves a raise.
Good. Well, I wish they'd listen. I wish they'd listen to her about our regional. She's just, she's beside herself to see this. It's all split exactly even.
Sure.
I can't believe it. I said, because she's real close to Cheryl. Mm-hmm. She's tight with Cheryl. Mm-hmm. I said, what's Cheryl doing? What's Cheryl doing? And I said, she's behind all of this. Mm-hmm. Giving everybody in the state the same. So I don't think she wants to, that's not her part. Cheryl, come on. You know, that's our part. But, yeah, that's, how are we going to get to Cheryl?
Okay, well, we have one more to look over, and then we can kind of go over the master sheet, talk about it, how we feel about the rankings. If there's anything we want to talk more in depth about, I have notes from the state if we have any questions about anything. So, last but not least, Weber County Moderate Income Housing Plan update. So, it's a planning activity, which is eligible under CDBG regulations. Cheryl doesn't like them, per se. She's, so it is eligible, but she's concerned that it might not be the best fit for CDBG. So that being said, we'll just go through like we've gone through the rest of them. They're asking for $30,000 with no match. They received full points for project manager consistency. Charles Ewart, he's great. This is highlighted down here for their moderate income housing plan because I did not receive a list of county scores. I only have cities, so I would have to contact Robert, who is the moderate income housing guy at the state, and see if counties receive a score or how that works. So that could potentially bump their score up a little bit, but they're still the lowest ranked, so it wouldn't make a difference, to be frank. So yeah, like it. Pretty self-explanatory. They want to update their moderate income housing plan. It doesn't contribute to the housing stock. It doesn't directly benefit LMI people that you can count beneficiaries. So they didn't receive points there. No match, no points there. It wasn't on their capital investments plan, so they didn't get any points there. Weber County was funded last year, so they didn't get any points there. It would be community-wide, so that gives them some points. High project benefit-cost ratio, which is pretty much where all of their points came from, but without directly benefiting people or houses, it was really hard for them to get a score there. So they were left at 22. But keeping in mind that that was one of two Weber County's applications, I'd have to go back and get the score for their income housing plan if they have a countywide one that received a score, because that could dump them up to 47, which would put them in the top three. So that's something that we need to talk about.
Say that again, if you combine the two?
No. So they had two applications.
Right.
One of them scored pretty high, the acquisition, the housing acquisition. So if I talk to Robert, who does the scores for the moderate income housing plan, and he says they did get a three or higher, then they would get two more points? They would get... Yeah, they would get two more points,
46.
Bring them up to 46, which would put them in the top three rated. So that could change things.
So we have a moderate income housing plan.
For the county?
Yeah. We combined with several of the cities.
I remember that.
A few years ago.
Or,
but it hasn't been updated since then, so that's where Robert would have to make that determination as far as if we still qualify for those points.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that being an issue because a lot of your communities went in on that.
Yes.
And they thought that that meant they were covered, but the state didn't accept a countywide one as a city plan. So
okay.
They actually had to go and redo theirs.
Okay.
But I do remember seeing that plan. So, hopefully Robert will get back to me
so
today.
So did we go in on that plan? So that's why we didn't get points because it
well, you
hasn't
get,
been
you,
updated.
You got... points, you just didn't get a three. You
got a 2.0 something rating on your plan.
Oh yeah, 2.0, yeah.
But I don't think you got points.
You didn't give us any points.
Right, you didn't get points because of the score.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the counties even qualifies right now. That's
right. And he only sent me cities, so I'll have to get after him to send me
those
the county.
Those have to be updated every 2 years.
Yeah, that's, and ours hasn't been updated in the last 2 years. I know.
It's tough
that's
to
just
do.
Crazy.
I know there's something in the legislation right now that they're trying to adjust that. They want to change the biannual review period. I don't know if they want to change it to more often or less often.
Well, Logan's working on that right now.
Is he?
Logan Wild is doing some stuff with modern income housing in the state code.
I'll have to ask him about that because that's just to me is ridiculous.
But it sounded like it was going to be more work for our planners and they weren't real happy. Rhonda Kippen was going to go kick him or something.
Well, I heard the planners weren't in favor.
Yeah.
So maybe they're trying to do it annually instead of biannually or something.
Right, and they were making it you shall instead of you may as part of your general plan. Some other things like that, so.
It is HUD that's giving us this money, so. Some sense, anyways. Okay, well, going briefly over all of those and having them kind of in your head, how do you guys feel about the ranks and where they sit, and do they seem to be in the right spot to you guys?
I think they're in the right spot. My only question is Wendover's capacity to do both projects.
And then part of what I was thinking on that is if we gave it, but they keep doing a little bit of water each time, then what I prefer is to fund the sewer, and then they could reduce the amount of water line that they actually put in by whatever funds that they got, because you know, they've been coming in before, so they're probably going to come in again for a water line project. And if we could reduce the water line project and they could sit 1,100 feet, maybe they get 900 feet or something, if they could.
But sewer line was number one project for them, right?
I think so.
It's rated at like half one there by the applicant.
Well, you can't just, if you put them third and you didn't have enough money, can you just put in part of a sewer line for the water line? They could, because they're just repairing a water line. Or I think the sewer line is new construction. Isn't that what it was, new construction on the...
Yeah, well, it was a replacement, yeah.
8-inch sewer line replacement.
Yeah.
The water, they're already doing in pieces anyway right now, so.
Right. That's a good question. So if we were to fund Washington Terrace and both Wendover projects, that is $686,103.
That doesn't leave money to do the $37,000 as well that we already committed to, right?
Right.
You're saying we only have
$607,000,
yeah.
That takes into account the...
Oh, no, it doesn't. So
Tuola's money?
Yeah, you're down.
That's what I'm saying. If we deduct the water line and just say, here's how much you get for that project. Can you do it? If they can't, then we just move to the next rating. If they set the water line, they can't do it with a reduced amount.
Yeah, if they can't.
To the next stages.
I would comment with you. Why can't they do 900 feet less than 12?
Right, right.
Well, you know.
So this number up here should actually be 569223.
Still got 2 points on the table from Weber County for
potentially
that would move up to a tie with Wendover.
Possibly. So
yeah, right. Your acquisition.
I think if Washington Terrace gets one, we can't give up with Weber County. That's
fair.
Sure. Hey, let's see. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. So Morgan didn't have.
Our guys are so disappointed, they just...
And I get that, and I think we need to talk when we get down here, because some of that was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to probably re-energize some of those people, because that's one of the things that Cheryl was bringing up. Well, look at this AOG, they've got this many applications, and you guys only have this many
education.
Mm-hmm. So do you really need them?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just saying, that's
you can only do so much.
Because Tooele County doesn't have any other than
you have department heads that are so freaking busy, and you beat them over the head and say, I need some CBGB stuff. When I look at Mike Wade, who's our public work manager, and it generally falls to him or our planning director, and those guys are freaking busy.
Right.
And you say, I need this, and make sure you touch all the bases, and you go in and try and help, and then you get it, and you rank 23. 24. We
so like I said, I'm in the same boat. I didn't have anybody, and when I talk to people too, it's the same thing.
I was looking for somebody to jump on, but we're not going to do that. We got other things to do. I mean, it's just an exercise of futility.
Yeah.
So
we've been going other places for our money. Like once I listed here, we're getting more bang for our buck.
Yeah, we got $2.7 million for road grant money.
And we got the small urban and stuff. We went to that. And they had so much money, they funded all the projects. Because there weren't very many applications. I think there was, what, 3 in one and 4 in the other, something for the small urban and non-urban for our region. And so they said, okay, everybody gets funded, I guess. So
yeah, we definitely need to talk to Cheryl, whoever it is, to make these guys think that it's even worth doing it again.
Right.
Or we're going to, you know, you can beat them over the head as long as you want to beat them over the head. But you know, it's just going to make them either put in an inferior packet or not do it at all.
Well, one of hers, you know, she was talking about they could do a $1 million project. Mm-hmm. Well, that's if the policy board says you're going to be able to submit a $1 million project.
Yeah.
You know, here we cap it out at 200,000. What if we capped it out at 250 or 500 on the policy board so we had more money to spread out statewide? It does no more than what we're already doing.
What I'm afraid of and what I would bet most of my money on is that if you went to Cheryl and you said that, she would say, that's case in point for why we should have a statewide allocation pot for CDBG.
I get the point. And it's like you said, you can go find funding other places. Mm-hmm. And that's, CBGD does not work for Ward County. It just doesn't. I mean, I think we've got half a dozen grants over the last 20 years, and it's just too damn tough to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, because I've gotten on these other grants, there's a lot of paperwork for this.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of requirements.
Yeah, there's a lot of strings attached to CBG.
I'm not near as much as what I've had to do with some of them.
I don't want the rest of the rest of the group to suffer because you know, our income level is very high, and that screws us, you know.
Yeah.
And then to try and say we need a low to moderate income housing change to our general plan, well, where are you going to put that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you have minimum lots of 1 acre.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't want to jeopardize this plan for anybody. It doesn't make sense. Maybe one day we'll fall into it. But anyway. I'll get off my soapbox now.
No, you're totally fine.
Oh, my God.
My time's mixed up.
No, you're totally fine. Grab yourself a lunch.
Not according to the secretary.
She wasn't sorry?
She said I had Alzheimer's. Or dementia.
Either of the above.
Oh, those.
So you can take my. I've got to leave in 10 minutes. So you
can take
my place.
How do you want your boat?
Yes.
Okay.
You can grab a lunch too. They're on the.
She was going to bring one.
Okay, perfect.
A ham sandwich.
Okay,
I was down with an engineer, but anyway.
So then, is there any more discussion on it?
Thank you.
Well, just so we have Washington Terrace as our top rated. Everyone feels comfortable with that. And then Wendover is the next two, unless Weber County gets those two extra points. So should we talk hypothetically if Weber County gets 46 points and is tied with Wendover.
I'm willing to make that motion that hypothetically, if it comes into a tie, put it first to give Wendover their sewer project. If we were there, 100,000 and whatever's left, see if Wendover.
What about Washington Terrace?
No, they're both 200,000, aren't you?
Weber County? No,
they had 150%.
Yeah, just
$200,000 project, but
$100,000 is what we're
Okay.
So Washington Terrace 232, Wendover's 203, so that puts you at 435.
So Weber County 100, potentially.
That's 535.
Yeah. So there'd be...
And then maybe Wendover could do a fraction of their project. Although, there is some discussion that would need to be paid attention to for the Housing Authority project. Their budget didn't 100% add up. They would still need to account for some match.
Okay.
So, maybe if we went into that discussion saying, if you can secure more match and we're able to give you, they're only asking for $100,000.
Right.
So if you guys can secure the rest of that match, then we can help you out. If not, we can still ask Wendover to do, you know, less, and we can tell them if that's okay with you, you can have the balance, but if that doesn't help you complete your project, then you can apply next year.
Right.
And we can...
And then that money just goes down the chain until somebody wants it for that part of the project.
Right.
Which, hopefully, it goes all the way to the bottom. Because it would fully fund Weber County's second
project. And then just before you have to leave, we want to touch base on Glenn Wendover. I'll have a discussion with him and see what his capacity is for the projects. What kind of concerns do you guys have just with him being part-time, or do you have to take on two projects at once while being part-time?
Well, I do know the assistant. They used to have somebody that was out there that was really, really good, and on top of it, they have a new person that's learning. And so she's been there for about a year, but she has been learning. But Glenn was, like you said, is he out of it? Is he saying he's retired but going in and hanging out, because that's where he's always hung out for the last 17 years?
Because he's listed as the project manager for both.
Right.
So.
And I'm sure that's because of his past experience.
Right.
I'm not doubting that they can do it.
Right.
Just want
some reassurance before we give them all that money.
I want to make sure. Oh, well, we put in for both, hoping we would get one, but you know, if we're going to get both, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they don't want the one, it would be advantageous because aren't we 116,000 short?
If we fully funded those three projects, yeah.
We're 116 short.
So which one are you going, Wendover, the water or the sewer?
Sewer.
Okay. Okay, that first one, okay.
Okay.
But if they give up one of those, then we could kind of fully fund all of them if we were getting to do so 100,000.
Okay, so it looks like my next steps are to talk to the state and get the score for Weber County's as a whole, yep, moderate income housing plan. If they didn't get the points, then I guess
out.
That's that.
Yep.
Unless Wendover can't do their two projects.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Correct. So I guess that's my provisional motion out there. If there's a bunch of ifs.
Right.
So if there's some way that...
We'll start with the if Weber County gets their points.
Right.
Okay.
And then maybe you can report back to us via email.
I'd like
and then
to
we can say, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our, that would be great.
Okay, if Weber County gets the points, then you got a three-way tie.
Right.
I say you give Wendover their top one.
Right.
And then give Weber County theirs.
Right.
And it's done.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because then you'd have like a little bit of money.
It'd be close.
Over.
It'd be really close then.
Then you could let that just fall down to the next person that said yes.
Right.
If there's any left. It's going to be really close. I don't know.
Did Wendover have a match on theirs?
No.
In
the project.
Yeah, and they're usually that way always.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have much.
Now the other if that 2 points doesn't come through,
then we're just
then we consult
Wendover,
with Wendover
make
to
sure
make sure.
Make sure they can do it.
And if they can't, you're in a close fourth.
Right.
Right.
And then we fund Weber County their 100.
Okay. Sounds good.
So it's the same. It's the same net.
Yeah.
It's about the same net.
Yeah. In one, we're just guaranteed. But if
Wendover doesn't want to give up one, they're only going to get funded half. Just like you said,
mm-hmm.
Which they would probably want to do half a water line or just go so far.
At least the portion.
Right.
Continue, but
okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Do all in favor? Say aye.
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 Perfect. Good.
That's not that much. Pipe.
What's up?
$100,000, $200,000. That's not that much pipe.
Well, they're doing their water line in increments, so they could just small down the project.
I thought Jerry just got $2 million for the water line.
All right. On to allocation method update.
Very much.
I apologize that I have to
step
out.
Well, you did better than the last guy showed up.
We'll keep him here until 2:30.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming down. Sorry about all the confusion.
No, it's all good. We'll get Steve next time we see him.
Yeah.
The troublemaker. Okay, you have, what is
that? Which one do you have?
Oh, I have the same one as you.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what else?
Yeah, I'll have to mention to Steve, he run everybody around. And
yeah.
Jay.
Had us all going into different offices and
there
all that
stuff.
There
you go.
Okay.
See you later.
See ya.
See you, Sean.
See you later.
So did Washington Terrace get budget for the water tank?
Mm-hmm. They were number one.
I think I know the document you're looking for, and I can picture him sitting on the printer.
Yes.
Over on my printer. I'm going to go run and grab him really quick.
Yeah, grab those.
Quick
that's
intermission,
what,
and I'm going to have a bite through
the road.
That's
what I'm looking for right there. And that gives me time to explore the boys' room. Mm-hmm. Perfect timing.
Yeah, we're having the same problems because it's like, you know, what kind of projects, and if there's very little money, they work. But then you got some of them that somehow their AOGs, and that's what we got to figure out, are able to get, they'll have two and three times as many applications as we, and for smaller amounts of money it used to be, but now for an equal amount of money.
Yeah.
And so we got to figure out how we can, I guess, market.
Well, you know, I think part of it, two-thirds of it's knowledge. Mm-hmm. Number one, how you apply. Number two, knowing it's there.
Right.
You know, so it's, we were whining at UDOT the other day about they never show us love, and Chris Peterson's looking at him, and he says, well, yeah, you're probably right, but, and he's going like this, so after the meeting, we went out, and he took me to his office, says, here's where we're showing you the love, and he showed me, like, $15 million worth of projects just in the last year that we didn't even know we got.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It was just
that
because,
hurt.
Yeah, it really does hurt because our roads department put in for them. They come back and they didn't share with us if they got them.
Mm.
And, but it was just like 2 or 3 days previous that it was all awarded. We got 3 bridge replacements, a new bridge over the Weber, a bunch of other stuff that was just phenomenal. It was all that stuff that you're talking about, you know, this right. This rural money that.
Are you in Region 1?
Yeah. So we get to fight with Weber and Davis County for money.
Mm-hmm. I just got a letter from our 12th city attorney criticizing the county commissioners because we hadn't raised taxes. There's 4 ways you raise taxes on roads or the proposition. So Tulsa City has not raised taxes in 27 years. And they complained to me because they didn't raise the taxes so they would have more revenue. And that's like, and then they badmouth the county for raising taxes. But you guys need to either support us or not. But don't complain we don't raise taxes.
This was a city that was badmouthing?
Mm-hmm. Roger Brake, did you get that letter?
Uh-uh.
So I know there's 4 different sections of the Prop 1. We passed 2 of them. And so I asked him, why didn't you pass all the other 2? You know, you cheated the whole city out of money, like.
That's the one.
That's the one.
You knew.
This one's pretty.
Look, color. Color graph.
Can you get that print a little smaller on these graphs?
Just for you.
You've got to do a landscape, so they're there.
Yeah.
You're right.
So that's where that, in the email, that chart ended up on the top, covering up most of it.
Yeah, that was kind of good.
Did you get that too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cut that off. So that's the end of it.
I might have ended up the first of it, so.
Okay. So this one that I just handed you is kind of an overview of everything. It includes what we talked about last time on the proposed method that WFRC wants to take to the AOGs. It also goes over our allocation method we have now and our previous allocation method. So the previous allocation method, which was the per capita population, gives everyone a $300,000 base, divides the rest on per capita population between 7 AOGs and distributes that way. As you guys know, last year the discussions were going and going and going and going, and then they had to end, and there was kind of a last minute, let's do it 7-way split. Second, I went through. So then we are on a 7-way split method right now, which is not ideal, as you guys can imagine. The needs are so different. The population is so different. It just doesn't, it's not a fair representation of where the needs are in the state. So the 7-way split was adopted under the condition that it's going to be for 1 year, and they would meet again this year to discuss something else. So that's when we got together in November and talked about what WFRC, RRC, you guys think would be the most fair allocation method. We reviewed things that the state had given you last June when you guys, when the policy board was trying to determine their allocation method when the 7-way split happened. So the AOGs were surveyed by the state saying, you know, what criteria are the most important to you to consider in the allocation method. Those top three criteria were voted on by the 7 AOGs as being percent of statewide LMI population, poverty rate, and pre-1980 housing. So those were the top three criteria from all 7 AOGs. So when we met in November, we kind of decided to keep those criteria and incorporate them into a formula that would best represent the need for the entire state. You know, we tried to be not as self-serving as possible, and really distribute the money where it needs to be in the state. Because we are trying to benefit the state, you know, it's not just about the Wasatch Front region. So when we met and we decided to keep those criteria, we kind of weighed them, how we would weight them, what's important to Wasatch Front region, how we kind of viewed it. So we had 60% of, we had a weight of 60 going to percent of statewide LMI population, and then 20% going to both the poverty rate and pre-1980 housing. And then this chart shows, and that's also including a $300,000 base. So this chart shows a brief description of the allocation method and then how much money each region would be getting if we were to use that methodology. So in just a moment, we can talk about what the AOGs had to say about our proposal, but really quickly, let me just go over what Cheryl, or the state, is proposing, which is this piece of paper here. So the way she kind of had set up the meeting when we all met with the AOGs, all at the AOGs had an opportunity, 5-10 minutes uninterrupted, to say their piece, what they want, what they propose, what they would support. And then we had an intermission, and then Cheryl got about an hour to give her spiel after she'd heard all the feedback from everybody.
It wasn't necessarily uninterrupted.
Right. she had a couple things to say during some of
it. She interjected.
Uninterrupted by everyone else. And then she presented a very well thought out and practiced delivery that I was watching the room. I thought I saw a couple people start to sway over to her side. So these were the cases that she made, everyone getting a smaller allocation. So, you know, some of the entities don't want to apply because they think, what's the point? Because the pot is so small. Lack of interest, too much work for not enough money. She thinks that this would simplify the system. We would all the whole state would have one rating and ranking criteria, and each AOG would have one of their own criteria that they would include in there to give them more points if they're meeting their regional priority, which in my head could be a little tricky, you know, how do you compare apples to oranges? But anyway, so the end result of her proposal is that each AOG would get $400,000 to $500,000 as a base, which is higher than she originally had presented the idea. But then when she presented that idea, she says, you know, if you had a base of $400,000 or $500,000, that's already more than some of you were getting before. And so if you could get that as a base, and then you still have the potential to get projects in your region, you know, that's increasingly beneficial for you. I'm just trying to repeat back to you guys what Cheryl said. She thinks you get better bang for your buck.
So my question is, how do you decide which one to go for, or what do we do as an AOG? Do we pick one of our best ones and send it to the state, or do you go for the AOG's money, or do you wait and go for the state money? How do you know where your project is going to
Way she explained it, we would still have, you know, our RRC and our rating ranking criteria, which would be almost exact same as everyone else's. We would go through and rate our rank and rate and rank our projects. Say we had 500,000, so we would fund the top projects until we didn't have any money left, and then the remaining projects would be added to a statewide pot, and then those projects would be rated and ranked and funded in order of their rank.
So you go from hard to get to almost impossible.
Yeah.
But then it makes the AOG, it's a disadvantage, because you take your top two or three here, mm-hmm. and you send down your bottom three to the state. So you're never going to get anything. Right?
Yeah, because you can take your bottom three and fund them, because you're only going to have 400,000 or 500,000 per region. So you take your bottom three
and you send the top
take
three,
the heavy hitters, and send them down.
And then you flip a coin.
And you get state money.
But see, that's the thing. How do you?
Like Wendover would probably qualify.
But what if our, you know, number one rated project, we sent it off to them and it was like five and they didn't get funded. And they were our best project, and now they didn't get funded by anyone.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
I think we were able to kill it for now, but it always comes up. She brings it up, and she gets the bulk of the time, because she talks like an auctioneer, and she just, you know.
When does she retire?
Two or three years.
We need some new blood in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not that I have anything against her, but she knows the system. She knows how to get everybody on her coach. She knows how to talk long enough where nobody else gets a chance.
And she knows what she wants, and she won't stop going after it.
Well, and as Christy shows up here, if we went by the LMI or by the per capita, which was the higher.
The way it was before?
Well, the way it was before, we ended up with our $1 million on both.
Yeah.
So, I mean, while Cheryl's trying to advocate that we need to get the money where the projects serve the most people, we still always ride to the top on that. So it's trying to get some of these other things in there that are trying to get the other counties. And I think it's San Juan, she's county, it seems like she wants to help them out. It's mm-hmm.
But you don't have the population down there compared to what you're helping
Weaver County. Yeah, we'd love to help them out. I'd love to help them out, but does their population really need it? Does their tourist population need the money? That's what I keep thinking about. Well, you raise your tourist tax down there, and you tax the heck out of the tourists. And
well, there's a huge perception, too, that we are getting a lot of fallout money from Salt Lake.
whether it's in Morgan, out at Twiller, or even up your neck of the woods. They think we have all these opportunities for funds from other places.
The saying of the meeting was, drop a nickel and it will roll to Wasatch Front.
Well, right.
Said
multiple
they said that multiple times.
Yeah. So, we tried to stress as much as possible that this is a small city CDBG program. We don't get funding from the bigger cities. You know, this.
You don't get projects from bigger cities.
And we don't do projects in those cities, yeah. And we don't get money from those cities for projects outside of their city. So, anyway, I hopefully.
So are we looking? Are we voting on which one of these we want?
No. This is just an overview of all of the different.
But if they decided, I mean, when are they going to vote on this and decide what?
So we talked about it. We didn't do any voting at the AOG meeting. Cheryl didn't want to do any voting. Before we move on really quick, I wanted to add that Andrew reviewed this before we took it down to the AOG meeting, and he thought it would be a good idea to add like a hold harmless provision, meaning that no AOG would get less money than they previously had in their old formula. So with our new formula, you know, WFRC would get quite a bit more money than we normally would. And WFRC is saying that we are willing to give up some of our money to the other AOGs. Say your LMI-ness isn't very high, and so you're losing a lot of funding there. We're willing to share our funding so that you receive at least how much you received in 2017.
So 622,857. So there'd be 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, AOGs. Sorry. The same as this number up here, the first row. The previous allocation method.
Per capita?
Yeah. So you'll never get less than that, but there's a chance you'll get more.
So I think I added that up, and I think that would drop us down to about 990,000.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Something
right,
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty benevolent.
Like that's just another measure to go to show that we're not trying to be selfish.
That the quarter when it drops, it doesn't roll towards
right.
us.
Right. Yeah. We're not trying
to. We're dropping quarters and they're rolling.
We're throwing quarters at you guys. Yeah, we're not trying to be selfish and come up with a formula that's going to benefit us just to benefit us.
I think this is just. I think you did a great job.
Great.
I have a heart. This graph, I don't quite understand it. Can you help me?
Yeah. So we.
With that?
We sent out a survey to some local governments, providing all this information, then asking them to vote.
Right.
So blue is needs-based allocation, which is what we're calling our proposal.
Okay.
Red is per capita, which is per capita population, the way it was before. Yellow is seven-way split, the way it is now. And green is Cheryl's proposal.
Okay.
So five people think that needs-based is their first choice, and two people said per capita population is their first choice. And then if you move to number two, one person said needs-based is their second choice, and five people said per capita population is their second choice, and one person said statewide pot is their second choice. Does that make you more sense? I know it is kind of a hard graph to read.
Not really. I don't understand.
Yeah, because you got seven or five people saying
right, there were seven votes. Given on, there were seven votes. Okay, if this was your, if the needs base was the ones we were going to go with, who would want the needs base one, right?
Yeah.
And so,
five people had it as their first choice.
It
one person
on which
is their
project
second choice.
Or which.
So, if five people have each one as their first choice.
Oh, it's first choice, second choice, third choice, fourth
right.
choice. I got it.
Your choices are down here. Like, you
choice
want this one the most,
here.
This one the least.
That's trying to go along the y-axis. That's a long time since I worried about x and y-axis, right? Axis.
Has
and
much to do with geometry,
voting.
But...
that's what I just went.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not even going to try to do that. That's half my grandkids.
So, really, needs base and per capita were one and two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And as you go on down to... the food chain.
Right.
It's the state's, the way the state had it, and
okay.
the seven-way split.
Okay.
So those are
okay.
the least popular.
Right.
Okay, now.
And this was mostly for Cheryl's benefit because previously when I talked to her, you know, she'd be like, well, it's not even necessarily about what the AOGs want, it's about what the local governments want. Because she's been talking offline to local governments without us, you know, and selling them on her idea. So she has this idea that if we were to ask our local governments, they would want her method.
Yeah, okay.
So this was kind of to show Cheryl okay. that, like, no.
Even, not even close.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. She makes sure it's the right way.
We had discussed about having just our AOG meet without Cheryl, so have you guys put anything together? Because we had talked about that, too. We're trying to get a meeting so that we can talk without Cheryl online, because she tends to drive the
right.
discussion, because she acts like every one of the meetings are her meetings and not a policy board. But it's been going that way for quite a while, from what I understand, so. It's hard to make that transition.
Has there been any movement towards that? I mean, is she?
So we've.
I think Jerry Taylor has been trying, but.
So we decided to start an email chain for now. So hard to like meet in person and get everyone on the phone from seven different AOGs. The next steps are seeming like everyone is on board with our proposal, but not necessarily exactly the way that it is now. Bragg said that they like our approach. They didn't have many tweaks that they wanted to add. Southeastern liked it, said they need that there needs to be some tweaking. His comments were that I'm just trying to frame it the best way. There was a little confusion the way he framed it. There should be a factor that's how much of your county is LMI and not or how much of your region is LMI out of their whole population instead of how much of the statewide population of LMI is in there. So they're not saying take out one and add the other. They're saying maybe some form of both. They didn't know exactly how that would happen. And it's, so that would need a math session of thinking through how that would really look. The main other comments that we got was that maybe we should change the weighting a little bit. Especially the smaller AOGs thought that 60% only for percentage of LMI was too high. They don't have as much LMI as us. So my next steps are to adjust the formula a little bit with different weights. And of course, send those to you guys, get your feedback on what you guys think of those, and then type up another overview similar to this one, but updated with the tweaks. Send those out to the AOGs. And then the staff members would have conversations with their executive directors. This actually got brought up at the AOG executive director meeting like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And all the executive directors talked about it, and they're on board with the exception of running over a few tweaks. So those tweaks would be changing the weighting and potentially adding another criteria to the formula. But I think the weighting was the main concern. I think those AOGs with smaller regions and smaller cities with higher percentages of LMI would be okay with foregoing perhaps the added criteria if the weighting for the LMI was lower.
That's what it's all about, LMI.
What's that?
Isn't that kind of what it's all about, is LMI?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we had it so high.
One of the in HUD's statement, that's what you're supposed to be benefiting as
well. Yeah, that's what I think. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a couple suggestions.
Yeah,
on this one. Well, first of all, on this page, it looks like, as I look at this, I feel like this is our 1-2-3 or 1-2 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, mm-hmm. maybe we should switch 3 and 4. Is our state pot really our lowest? Or okay. is 7-way split our lowest? Let's think about that.
Well,
I don't know.
State pot is going to give us $400,000 or $500,000, so he's right where we get $657,000.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, but this isn't saying what our ranking is, but I think we ought to put, mm-hmm. we do have the top two up on top.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we ought to maybe, does it matter? Either one of those are horrible, but is one less horrible?
to put in number three spot. I think the third, I think state pot is the worst.
Right.
My opinion. And then up in that per capita, well, no, let's see. No, in the one she said, you said 400, on that one you said 400 to 500,000, that's different than...
On this sheet.
Than on this sheet.
Yeah,
didn't you say 300,000 on the state pot?
Yes.
So I don't know if you want to readjust that to put 400,000, maybe you don't want to put 500, but 400?
Yeah.
Instead of 300, I wouldn't put 500, because if she did say 4 or 5, she's probably thinking more 4, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Didn't she? And then my suggestion on this page was, and when I first saw this, started running these, and I can't remember what I came up with, it's been a long time ago, it was last year, is maybe kind of adjust that $300 or $300,000 base allocation. If you throw that to 350,000 for each AOG to start with,
mm-hmm.
or maybe 400,000, then that would each time you increase that, of course, it would decrease ours a little bit.
Right.
But you know, I'd like to put something more in there than to give this whole harmless cause or clause.
You're not sure about the clause?
Well, I like the clause.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, oh, I'm trying to, you know, no,
yeah.
Let's just start it out that way.
Right.
Where maybe, you know, we're gonna count on 950,000 every year, and see that these people are all just slightly above where they used to be. Instead of saying, well, we're here, but I don't know which is better. Maybe being like this is saying, yeah, we're gonna be nice guys. We're gonna give back $200,000.
So just so you know, Cheryl, when she went out, she asked all of us to send our ideas out in advance, and we probably sent more. Well, you know, we did. We sent more out, trying to be upfront with what we were doing than what the other ones did. Some didn't even send anything out. Most
we're the only ones who sent anything like concrete.
Right. The rest. So in the background, it felt like they were. I don't know. There's what Mountain.
Mag.
This is Wasatch County Councilman. What's his name? There's a Wasatch, but they've been pretty vocal.
Oh, Nate.
And then Nate. I don't know. It just seemed like we were trying to be upfront because they asked everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're being upfront, and we keep getting shot down. So I don't know if we play the political game and say we're not showing our cards, any of our cards, till we see yours.
I don't know how shot down we've gotten. I think. There's majority interest moving forward with our proposal. I do recognize and appreciate what you're saying. It would be easier and more straightforward to be like, hey, this is the set formula. There's not going to be any minusing and subtracting and adding just because we like you or whatever. But I can see both sides.
I don't know.
And I think it would be beneficial to present both options just at the next or in the next email or whatever. And I think that's also something Andrew would be interested in, just putting in his two cents into that. But I think if we feel like good about it either way, then it doesn't hurt to present both options.
Yeah, I don't know, that's what I would suggest. Up that 300,000 to 400,000, that would be, you've got seven of us.
Yeah.
That'd be another, you know, 700,000 you deduct mm-hmm. from 2.5. And then you're, you know, I don't know how that would affect that. Well, we deduct.
It would affect Wasatch Fund the worst.
Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm. We deduct 600.
Most of that 700 to come out of your pocket.
Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm. It would. And then we'd get an extra 100 back, but it would never make up the
right.
500 or 600 thousand we just gave away.
It's one of those days of bills. Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, no, I just and I recall doing that, but I can't remember how it worked out. But maybe that's
well, if you got some stuff on an email, then we can all look at.
I just did it. You know, I just worked in my head.
Oh.
Maybe 350,000. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember what. It, yeah, because once you start giving away that 100,000 to seven. Yeah, you're taking it right away from us.
We'll never get it back.
And maybe this is the way to go, you know, to save.
I like one and two. I like one and two. I think that makes a lot of sense.
One and two are great.
You know.
Mm-hmm. But have that
cap amendment is where we were, and needs-based is where we could go. To me, I mean, don't give the state any hooks on it, or it'll morph into being all theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, slippery slope.
When you say needs-based, that sounds like, should there be any other method? It's needs-based.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good title for that method, is needs-based.
So, Jerry, you and the other AOGs have never been able to talk just one-on-one without Cheryl. She's always present.
But we haven't, we suggested letting the AOGs reps talk without Cheryl,
mm-hmm.
so that they could kind of work out some stuff and bring. But Cheryl,
I said that's fine.
Cheryl always wants to be involved, and some of them, they'll tell you right up front, they're good friends with Cheryl. Some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
They've been working this program a long time with Cheryl. They become friends with Cheryl, so it's hard to, even if you did that, to keep Cheryl out of the loop, because she's going to get back through the back channels and know what's going on.
But well, it's pretty interesting just to be able to talk for yourself. Because sometimes people can't be completely honest if she's there.
Yeah.
It's
good to try and keep her happy.
Tough to say.
If you do it without Cheryl there and it gets back to her, it's just a political thing. So.
Well.
Yeah. And you know, with this pot of money that we divide up statewide, that's the only part of money that Cheryl's in. If you like Salt Lake and Davis County, I told you they get directed money. Cheryl's not involved with that. They get to pretty much decide. They have their own person they get to decide. But with this, when we split it up, Cheryl, she gets what, $240,000 or something?
A crazy amount for admin. Yeah. I think Mayor, you or one of your comments was
that. Yeah, I thought that was pretty darn good.
That's a bit much.
She got $200,000 just for administration.
It was her and a staff of three, I think.
Yeah, there's two other people besides her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
$150,000 for three people? Wow.
Just for this program. You know how many other programs she has? I'm sure she doesn't spend 100% of time on.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else she does, but.
That's pretty good dough.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Well,
that's really helpful.
So when are we going to know what the criteria is?
What's coming? So my next step is to incorporate this feedback and come out with essentially more tables that says, this is if we do this base and this formula and this base and this formula, this weight and this weight, and send that out to you guys.
Okay.
Get your feedback on that, kind of pick and choose which ones that you want me to send out to the AOGs.
Okay.
Then I'll go ahead and send that with the updated, like that one sheeter, two-sheeter, to all the AOGs and get their feedback. And then
Do you think we need to have another meeting before, not us, but the AOGs with the prior to our policy board meeting where we actually...
The one in June?
Yeah.
So we're meeting again in April for something else.
I think it's when we look at all these.
So to do project awards, and then at the end of that meeting we're going to talk about this again, and if we don't come to any sort of agreement by April, then we're probably going to set up another meeting besides the policy board meeting, which is in June,
right? 28th.
So if all goes well, we'll know by April. If it doesn't go well, then May and June are going to be long months of deliberation for the policy board. Not for us. But But the feedback that I've gotten, I feel pretty positive that there's a good chance we can move forward with our proposal.
We'll give it our.
We're going to be up in your neck of the woods.
Give it our all.
Yeah, that's, we had to get you guys something to do. We thought we'd just drown y'all in the Weaver River.
Yeah.
So, right.
A couple of us, if you were selected, that might help.
Yeah. We could be selected. When is that in June?
June 28th and 29th.
And those dates work for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I texted Cheryl.
Oh. And that's it. That's just the statewide policy board, right?
Right.
Yeah, Manise had talked to us last year about that, so I think we've been working on it ever since.
And that April is the statewide policy board. Okay, so we don't really have any formal meeting until...
No.
After all that, I would imagine.
The fall sometime. This meeting.
Yeah, our next meeting is May 22nd.
Oh, we do have this meeting, May 22nd. Okay.
Well, let me check and make sure. There's been too much confusion already.
Well, I guess. Andrew got a little, it isn't Andrew's fault, but I got meetings following meetings. May 22nd, right?
Let me check.
That's it.
It's there?
Yeah, I got one there.
Perfect.
12 o'clock?
12 o'clock? 12 to 1?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock?
Yep. This one was a little longer because we went over our review, but yeah, there, an hour should be.
That one I may not make.
Lucky, you're always doing the fun things.
I believe the next day.
I'll send Steve. How's that?
No.
Perfect.
No.
Tell him 11:30.
He'll want to change the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you guys should be expecting that email update from me sometime in the next week or so. And then I'll let you know how the April meeting goes, and then I'll see you guys in May.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you guys for coming.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh,
don't move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.